Get ready to turn that idea of yours into a successful side hustle without sacrificing time for the other things in your life. No matter your field, Wix's chat-based AI can help you get your website up and running in minutes so you can start achieving your goals. And don't worry if you don't have all the answers. Who does, right? AI-powered campaigns, SEO, market insights. We're always there for you. From launching your part-time passion to growing it into your full-time career, head over to Wix.com and start creating today. Imagine a digital space that's hyper-customized to meet your unique vision, where a chat with AI results in a breathtaking storefront that's got your brand all over it. A business-ready site stacked with all the e-com tools you need to manage and scale your store. Sounds like a stretch, right? Wrong. Get multi-channel selling, drop shipping, customized analytics, and a full marketing suite. All of it wrapped up in a user-friendly workspace. Head over to Wix.com and turn your vision into revenue.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back to EV News Daily. Coming up today, the Hyundai Ioniq 5 gets an off-road trim. Volvo refreshes the XC90 plug-in hybrid. And VW's ID. Buzz GTX goes on sale in the UK. Plus, stay tuned, because later in the show, I'll tell you why EU tariffs against China could actually hurt Volkswagen's EV plans. Well, good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, wherever you are in the world. Welcome to EV News Daily, your trusted source of EV information for Wednesday, 4th of September. I'm Martin Lee, and I go through every EV story, so you don't have to. Patreon supporters get the shows ad-free. Be like them by clicking on a link in the show notes. Well, Hyundai has launched a new off-road ready trim of the Ioniq 5. It's called the XRT trim. The model features a more rugged design with a suspension lift and joins the high-performance version, the Ioniq 5N. The XRT has a 0.9-inch lift, unique suspension settings, and 18-inch wheels with all-terrain tyres. While it lacks extra underbody protection, the standard shielding should be adequate for at least light off-road use. The XRT is easy to recognise with its unique front and rear bumpers in what Hyundai have called digital camouflage, which is a darker colour with a kind of pattern on. It has an improved approach and departure angles, approach 19.8 degrees and departure angle 30 degrees, respectively, because of the increased height. But let's go back to that so-called digital camouflage. It looks like they've painted the bumpers at the front and the back a darker colour. It almost looks like it's been an accident and they've put on, you know, some new bumpers and they haven't got round to painting it yet in the paint shop. It's subjective. I don't think it does the car any favours. And the Ioniq 5 is a really good looking car. Not for me, but have a look in the show notes. I'll pop a link to this. You can see what it's like. In the United States, other models in the Ioniq 5 lineup also get some upgrades that elsewhere have been seen around the world already. The standard range battery goes from 58 kilowatt hours to 63. And while the long range battery grows from 77.4 kilowatt hours to 84. This XRT model comes with a larger battery, by the way, and in all-wheel drive trim. Another big change is the new J3400 port, or NACS, its official name is J3400, the Tesla connector, providing access to 17,000 supercharger stations in the United States. This makes charging convenience much better for Ioniq 5 owners, effectively doubling the amount of DC fast chargers that they can access. Each car will include a CCS1 adapter so that the cars that come with native NACS, as it kind of being called, you can still use CCS plugs, of course, but the adapter goes the other way, if that makes sense, and the one that at least most people will have. And it's interesting because the first cars out of the plant towards the end of this year, it'll go into production the 2025 model year soon, but it's still going to come with CCS1. I think early next year, they'll flip that over to native NACS so that when you buy the Ioniq 5, it'll have a native NACS port on. Does it really matter? I don't think so. I think we're going to be living in adapter hell. Well, my American friends will be for a while yet. So it's not like they've just kind of killed the Ioniq 5 for now. No one's going to buy one with CCS1. Everyone's going to queue up for the next native port to get the Tesla connector on the side of their car. I think it doesn't matter. Just buy the one with whatever it comes with, because unless you're going to have the car for 15 years and at some point, everyone's going to be using J3400 and you don't want to bother with adapters. Well, the adapters are pretty small, quite lightweight. You throw it in the, in the boot or the frunk, and it's not going to be a really big deal. Inside, the IONIQ 5 gets a refreshed climate control layout, the new USB-C ports, physical controls for the seat heaters, and wireless Apple CarPlay and Android Auto. There's also a redesigned center console, and pricing for the 2025 model year hasn't been revealed yet. Hyundai anticipates that it'll get half the federal tax credit, so $3,750, because they'll make it at their Georgia facility. The battery, though, won't qualify yet. The 2025 model is set to go on sale soon, later this year. Early versions, like I say, CCS, later, will get native next. Now, let's talk about Volkswagen considering closing some of their plants in Germany. Volkswagen's 87-year streak of avoiding factory closures in Germany may be ending. The company's recent announcement regarding potential factory shutdowns has surprised the automotive sector. Volkswagen's facing major profitability challenges and needs to cut costs. Last year, the company launched a cost-saving program to save 10 billion euros, that's $11.06 billion equivalent, by 2026, but the plan's not been sufficient. They have to save an additional $4 billion now. Well, this change reflects a big moment in Volkswagen's history, which has long prioritized job security and has an agreement in place to protect jobs until 2029. This agreement, going back to 1994, may be at risk as the company restructures. Possible closures could affect at least one major vehicle production facility and one parts factory in Germany. The Works Council for VW warned that all German factories could be at risk. And I'll come back to this topic at the end of the podcast today, and we'll have a look at what these EU-China tariffs are doing and how it actually could hurt the German car industry. Now, let's talk about a big van, the Ford E-Transit. It's arrived with a larger battery, and it's a really decent improvement, actually. The new Ford E-Transit goes from 68 kilowatt hours to 89 kilowatt hours. The low-roof cargo van has now got a WLTP range of 159 miles, which is, it's not great for such a big battery, but this is a really big vehicle. That's 256 kilometers. That's a 26% improvement compared to the outgoing model. More importantly, they've improved the charging speed as well. It'll DC fast charge at 176 kilowatt peak. So if you are using this as a working vehicle and you drain your battery, maybe you have to take a driver break or just your lunch break or a wee break, within 15 minutes, you've added 60, 70 miles and you're back on the road. For going back to the depot and, bunging some new Amazon parcels in the back of it that might take 45 minutes or an hour, the onboard AC charge has been upgraded. So when the vehicle's not moving, the key to this is with commercial vehicles and, not so much the cars that you and I drive, if they're not working, plug them in. So if they're not moving, plug them in. It's got a 19.2 kilowatt AC onboard charger. So 6 hours completely full with an 80 amp level 2 charger. Another upgrade is the onboard power. Ford's Pro Power onboard is 2.4 kilowatts for the AC power, which can provide power even when the van is powered up and moving. This makes the E-Transit way more practical for businesses. It gets a $7,500 commercial clean vehicle tax credit because it's made at Ford's Kansas City plant in the US. Pricing is $51,000 for the cargo van. There's a chassis cab and cutaway models that are a bit cheaper because, you're getting less of the van. And over here, the Ford E-Transit is a very, very popular vehicle for commercial use for anyone in a trade, I would say. Much more than you do see pickup trucks for people who are working and stuff like that. But if you've got tools and a lot of the pickup trucks over here don't come with maybe a tonneau cover or a lockable bed, then a van is the obvious choice. And the Ford E-Transit, incredibly popular. Now, let's talk about some range testing that's been done. And this is a really interesting insight. NIO, the Chinese company NIO, they're all about battery swapping. Their battery swapping technology lets owners quickly exchange an empty EV battery for a new one at a power swap station, reducing the time spent charging. It makes long trips very easy. Now, one NIO driver in China who has a channel online, his name is Ran, he swapped out his battery for a bigger capacity one. So the way that Neo do it is the external dimensions are the same, and as battery technology improves and energy density improves, you can just pay more money for the time that you have the bigger battery pack. It's just that you just pay, you know, more of a monthly rental or a shorter term rental. So he swapped out for a 150 kilowatt hour battery pack. That one has the semi-solid state technology, and in his Neo ET5, that's the sedan, by the way, and he drove, get this, I mean, it is a slippery vehicle, and it's a sedan, not a big SUV, but that Neo ET5 on a 150 kilowatt hour battery did 554 miles. Now, this isn't CLTC or the China numbers, and you go, well, you got to sort of, you know, half that. This was real world. 554 miles, that's 891 kilometers, and he got to the next battery swap station, or the one he was heading to, with 0% on the dashboard. So he did drain this thing. Now, he paid around $42 to upgrade his battery pack for 2 days to do this range test. And if you're going on holiday or a road trip, you need it for a certain reason, that alleviates range anxiety. And of course, the charging time is 3-4 minutes. And then off you go again for another 554 miles. Really impressive, actually. Now, we'll talk about the Tesla Cybertruck launching a new Cybertruck winter tire package as winter approaches in the Northern Hemisphere. If you have a Cybertruck, you can now get 20-inch Cyber wheels and the winter tire package. It's $3,000. Includes 4 Cyber wheels with new Goodyear DuraTrack tires, new tire pressure sensors and nuts. The package aims to improve traction, stability and braking performance when temperatures drop below 45 degrees Fahrenheit. That's about 7.2 degrees Celsius, which we are rapidly heading to here in the UK right now, at least overnight. Maybe we've even had some 7-degree overnights. Summer is very much in the rearview mirror at the moment. Daytimes are not too bad. I'm looking up at the... it's about 18 degrees in my office right now without any heating or cooling. I got the heat pump air conditioning down here at the bottom of the garden in the EV News Daily headquarters. The little room that I disappear off to, away from the kids to record the podcast, and not needing it this time of the year. I've not needed much aircon, to be honest. Bit of a miserable summer. Right, when we come back, we'll talk about Volvo. We got the new electric sedan, the new plug-in hybrid XC90, and they've updated their EV ambitions a little bit. Kind of got blown a little bit out of proportion, actually, by the media this week. I'll fill you in a moment. Hey, welcome back. Now, let's talk about Volvo unveiling, sort of, at least teasing, the new ES90 electric saloon. They're moving towards their all-electric lineup, and the ES90, that's going to be their electric saloon, released in 2025. It's going to replace the long-running S90 and the V90, and that'll compete against cars like the BMW i5 and the Mercedes-Benz EQE. The company teased the model during its 1990 Day event, celebrating the first deliveries of the EX90, that's the big SUV, and the new internal combustion XC90, more of that in a moment. While details are limited, the ES90, are you keeping up? The ES90, the sedan, will share the same electric platform as the SUV version, the EX90. So we think, you know, maybe 5 meters long, single motor, dual motor, obviously versions, battery 111 kilowatt hours, maybe 360 to 370 miles. That's almost 600 kilometers of range. Of course, it'll be made by the Volvo parent company Geely in China. This kind of vehicle, very important to the luxury saloon market for those that want to be driven as well, not just drive their own car. Pricing, I mean, I don't know. Say it starts at 65 grand or 55,000 pounds, maybe $65,000. Of course, options, it'll be more. So I mentioned then the plug-in hybrid version of the XC90. I love the XC90, by the way. And for many people who talk to me about, I need a really big vehicle for my family, I don't mind paying a premium price, and I'm not ready to go all electric, what can I get? The XC90 is always on the list of have a look at this vehicle, because the all-electric version hasn't been ready until now. Well, Volvo, you know, are going to carry on that vehicle even in an all-electric era. Their sales had a good first 7 months of the year, by the way. Volvo is up about 13% globally in the first 7 months of the year, mainly driven by its EV cars, by the way, about 30% increase in their EVs. In the US, the brand has faced some challenges, though, because the EX30 got pushed back and the EX90, not fully ready yet. It's coming with some stuff like LiDAR that is on, the hardware's on, but it's not going to be activated on the vehicle. So Volvo are leaning into their XC90. It's going to be called the 2025.5. model a year, or 2025 and a half, combining features from the existing model and updates, a sleeker design, so the design language now matches their electric cars, more integrated grille, new headlights and taillights, new central display with a new user interface, new chassis improvements, powertrain remains largely the same, all-wheel drive B5 and B6 trims using that mild hybrid. The T8, though, is what you want. The T8 is the plug-in hybrid, turbocharged four-cylinder engine, and the electric motor. It's on the rear axle in the XC90. The electric motor has a 20-kilowatt-hour battery, just slightly under, providing an EPA of 32 miles, all electric range, and a really capable vehicle. So I mentioned Volvo revising their electrification strategy. Volvo Cars have changed its goal for 2030. It's no longer saying we're going to be a 100% brand by 2030, a 90% electric brand by 2030. Of course, everyone that really wants to write negative headlines about EVs wrote the headlines. You know, Volvo's backing away from its commitment to go electric. It's just a slight reduction to meet the market changes that are happening. And the plug-in hybrids, the electric cars from Volvo, will still be 90% of the sales in 2030. They're just dialing it back a little bit. We're tweaking things around the edges. It's not like they've completely thrown their hands in the air and said, well, we're just going to make diesel cars from now on. But that was almost, you know, when you look at the reaction, you would think that's what they said. They talked about changing market conditions and buyer preferences. Previously, Volvo were going to be fully electric by 2030. Now they say somewhere between 0% and 10% might be hybrids. So I still think that's pretty good. All right, let's talk about Volkswagen's ID Buzz. The GTX version is now available here in the UK. The high-performance version of the Buzz, the GTX, has the dual-motor all-wheel drive system. 335 horsepower, 0 to 62 miles an hour, that's 100 kph, 6.6 seconds. And the towing capacity has increased quite significantly, 1,000 kilograms to 1,800 kilograms. That's 4,000 pounds. It comes in both standard and long wheelbase versions. Standard model, 80 kilowatt hour battery, 262 miles or 423 kilometers, and charging at 185 kilowatts peak. That's good. Long wheelbase does dial that up, though. Long wheelbase GTX goes an 86 kilowatt hour battery, got more room for more modules, of course, 300 miles of range and 200 kilowatt peak DC fast charging. Sportier design, but just keeping its all of its retro charm with some special GTX bumper details and LED daytime running lights in 5, 6, or 7 seat configuration, starting at, and I hope you are sitting down in one of the seven seats, £67,000. I imagine many of these vehicles will be bought on finance, maybe fleet vehicles, maybe leased or PCP, things like that, because that's a huge chunk of change to move the family around. It's a real premium vehicle. Now, look, we're in the very early days of the ID Buzz. It's been out 2 years, and so I think you can still charge a premium. And even on the used market, the vehicle hasn't depreciated in the way that others have. That, you know, obviously there's lots of Teslas around, and you see loads of those at really good prices. Not so much the Model Y, still holding that price up, but even the ID Buzz, you can get a deal in the used one now that the long wheelbase has come out as well. And I still think that's holding its value pretty well. So here in the UK, ProDrive, very famous for making, you know, performance and racing vehicles. ProDrive is working with a UK design agency to unveil a new compact electric van that's aimed at last mile deliveries. It's going to be called the Evolve. It's 3.2 metres long, it's 1.4 metres wide, and it's all about manoeuvring through narrow city streets. It can carry a 1.6 metre pallet, a 300 kilogram payload, and a secondary storage area for another 1.2 metre pallet, and 200 kilograms of load. It weighs just 850 kilograms with batteries. It's significantly lighter than any other traditional van that you might use for last mile delivery. Funding for the project came from the Advanced Propulsion Centre and private investment. It'll cost around £25,000. It only goes 50 miles an hour, or 80 kph, doesn't need to go any quicker, and it'll do 100 miles. Doesn't need to go any further because it's, you know, after 160 kilometres, going back to a depot, recharging, reloading, and off it goes again. Now, I'll come back to this topic of what I talked about a minute ago, which is some of the advancements in China, some of the way that the tariffs are designed to hold it back, and whether that will work or not. So first of all, let's talk about the VW brand Cupra. Now, at the America's Cup in Barcelona, Cupra, which is the Spanish bit of VW, unveiled the Terramar. It's a compact crossover. Cupra is coming back to the United States, and the brand will enter the American market later this decade with two new models, an all-electric version of the Formentor. The Terramar, though, gives a glimpse into the future Cupra designs. Very aggressive styling, very sporty proportions, hard lines and hard angles. Has those high-definition matrix LED lights that look really cool. Head-up display, nice Sennheiser audio system. Sharing some of its relationship with the Volkswagen Tiguan, call that a cousin car if you like, that is set to launch in the US sometime before next year, the Tiguan. The Terramar will offer powertrains, including a plug-in hybrid version with, like the Tiguan, the 20 kilowatt hour battery for some all-electric range. Now, what's happening in China? Well, SAIC, the company that owns MG, talked this week about plans to launch solid-state batteries next year in some of their cars. Not semi-solid-state, but the solid electrolyte, proper solid-state batteries, which has, you know, evaded everyone to, you know, to do it commercially, by the way. But next year, they'll release a vehicle with that technology in, and they're going to use the MG brand for that. So maybe at the end of 2025, it's ready to come out of testing and, you know, for prime time, maybe that would be in the new Cyberster, which is a 50 grand plus vehicle, which is a premium vehicle. The solid state batteries promise advantages over using a liquid or semi-solid state lithium ion battery, like doubling the energy density, faster charging, much safer as well, very durable. And when the technology scales, much cheaper. Using the solid electrolyte reduces any risk of leakage, because it can't, and therefore no flammability, and much faster charging, like I say. The issue with many solid-state batteries now that work in the lab and work in test vehicles is they either haven't had the longevity, they won't last the hundreds of thousands of miles that lithium-ion batteries have been lasting, or they don't hold their charge. And if you don't go and use your car for a week or a month, that's been the downfall with some of those solid-state technologies, is that, call it phantom drain, if you will, they just haven't been ready to go in cars yet. So we'll wait and see what SAIC do. They could use that with the MG brand, but I don't know, it's very, very, very interesting. So that's where China is taking a lead on technology. Meanwhile, whilst America would love to take a lead on technology, they, I think, are still in the throes of working out what the American car industry is going to look like. And part of that is to work with the unions on this move to electrification to ensure that people keep their jobs and are paid fairly. The question has emerged recently: how can EV workers, or how can we make the transition to moving those combustion workers to EV? The UAW is the United Auto Workers Union, and they're campaigning to organise the Southeast and the EV industry. Workers at the Tennessee battery plant voted to join the UAW recently, marking an important win for the union. The Spring Hill plant, which is the joint effort between GM and LG, that's the Ultium technology, by the way, that goes in the Hummer and the Lyric and stuff like that. The plant is the second Ultium facility to unionise following Lordstown, Ohio, which did it 2 years ago. So they're still working out labour and things like that. Meanwhile, in Germany, they're having to contend with the reduction of EV incentives, which has caused the, only really in Germany, a off a cliff sales decline, and generally an automotive decline. Germany's the largest auto market in Europe, had a sharp drop last month in August, with less than 200,000 vehicles registered, down 30% on the same month the previous year. And that was a lot driven by the fall in EVs. The rush to buy EVs this time last year inflated that number. And of course, this time without incentives, it makes it this year look particularly bad. But EV sales have been struggling this year in Germany following the purchase incentives being reduced. And it's worrying the car makers. They're all trying to meet stricter climate goals, increased competition from China, and the German Labour Minister has promised new government incentives to help the industry. And I said at the beginning of the podcast, how can these EU tariffs, which aimed to level the playing field, raise the price of Chinese EVs, actually hurt the German industry? Proposed tariffs on Chinese EVs by the European Commission to protect local manufacturing could actually hurt someone like Volkswagen because they have the Cupra brand. According to the CEO of Cupra, Wayne Griffiths, the 21.3% import tariff on those vehicles would affect VW because the Cupra Tavascan, an all-electric SUV, was going to be made in China to keep the costs down when it sold in Europe. And he said that that 20% wipes out the model. The current economic climate in Europe would make it impossible to raise the vehicle's price to absorb the increased costs. The Tavascan, currently priced around 50,000 euros or 57,000 US dollars, initially slated for a 38% tariff. It was lowered from 38 to 21% after protests from Cupra and BMW. The 27 member countries will vote sometime in October about whether to bring these tariffs in as a five-year policy. Cupra have really had the rug pulled from under their feet. They invested heavily in Chinese production. They can't just relocate it overnight to Europe. Without expected Tavascan sales, Cupra risks missing the EU-required CO2 targets, which is a double penalty because that then faces more hefty fines and more job losses at the Spanish operations. It's a vicious circle, isn't it? And finally, we'll talk about how Changan Automobile, one of China's leading car makers, has now established a subsidiary in Germany called Changan Automobile Deutschland, located in Munich, part of the company's strategy called Vast Ocean to grow its global footprint. And of course, all of this is funded by China. And the German subsidiary is going to work on sales, marketing, service, customer insights, and market research. They say the company plans to introduce EVs to Europe in the second half of this year sometime. So we're waiting for more details. And they're talking some really big numbers on that. And so is it a Chinese company? If it's a German company, with ownership of China, I guess it would be. They'd have to do some sort of ownership deal in the EU with another, you know, a Western car maker and do like a 49-51 thing. So it wasn't technically a Chinese company. It's going to be fascinating to watch and a real headache for everyone involved. That's your podcast for today. Thanks to our premium partners, Porsche of the Village of Cincinnati, Audi of Cincinnati East, Volvo Cars of Cincinnati East, National Car Charging on the US mainland, and Aloha Charge in Hawaii. Derek Riley from Nevo.ie and the Nevo EV Review Ireland YouTube channel, and Octopus Electroverse. Global public charging made simple with one app and one map. Have a good one. See you tomorrow. And remember, there's no such thing as a self-charging hybrid.